Let us go to the Lord. Father, we thank you that we have sung your praises and we do acknowledge your holiness, Lord. You are holy forever. And Lord, because you are holy, you do things your way. And one of the things that were your way was to provide a way that every one of us who believes will be in your presence forever and ever. Father, we thank you for that. We thank you that you corrected man's sin. You corrected the death that we brought upon ourselves, Lord, by disobedience. But Lord, you made from the foundations of the world the way through Jesus Christ, your only begotten Son, to bless us, to help us, to forgive us, and to give us eternal life. So Lord, as we look at that this morning, we ask that you will remove me from this and let your word speak for itself. We thank you, and in Jesus' name we pray this. Amen. Now today we do indeed celebrate the resurrection of the Lord and Savior, Jesus of Nazareth, the only begotten Son of God. Today will be scripture heavy, as I mentioned earlier, because what we proclaim is the very Word of God, the very truth of God that He has shown to us, both written and incarnate. This is the truth for all men, for all times. You know, we used to argue among ourselves as far as scholars and pastors and theologians and stuff about whether God calls us or we call God. And I have to argue it's both. It's both. God puts in our heart the desire for Him. That's true. But God also gives us the ability to make the choice whether we follow Him and believe in Him or not. Folks, I'm here to proclaim to you that He is worthy to be praised. He is the only begotten Son of God. And Jesus is who we celebrate this morning. Not a myth, a real man that this really happened to. And that's why we talked about earlier about there are going to be many false Christs, because people, even to this day, they want to deny the virgin birth, but especially they want to deny the resurrection. A few years ago, remember they had this guy come on TV and said, "We found an ossuary, that's a bone box, and it's got the word Jesus, son of Joseph, on it." Remember that? It was proven to be false, but the world grabbed it and they ran with it. Oh, Jesus is in this tomb. Remember when Jesus said, if you ever hear, he's over here, he's over there. Don't you believe it. And we shouldn't believe it, because he is at the right hand of God the Father, and he is returning again to judge the living and the dead. But we who believe in him have already been judged on the cross. So this morning we're not only going to talk about the resurrection, we're going to talk about the crucifixion. Last week we talked about the Last Supper and his arrest, but now we're moving forward in time. So we're going to proclaim that word of God today. And whether people believe it or not, it is still the truth. Because you can believe a lie and it not be the truth, but if you believe the truth, it is the truth on its own merits. And that's what the word of God tells us. Jesus, in fact, said himself, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me." Folks, he also said something else. He said, "I am the resurrection. He who believes in me shall never die, but he who lives and believes in me shall never perish." That means eternal death. Folks, if we are in Christ, we are alive from this point forevermore. You remember those charts they used to have in higher math class, calculus and stuff? They'd start with a punctiliar point and they would put an arrow and it would, they put the little infinity symbol, just kept going forever and ever. That's us if we are in Christ. A lot of folks have a hard time believing that, and I understand that. We are born, we die. We see the beginning, we see the end. Folks, our life, our mind is punctiliar and temporal. We can only understand things in relationship with time. But when we have Christ, we are beyond time. Why? Because he died, he was buried, and he resurrected. Folks, that's where we're going to get on this morning. You know, that truth was revealed to God's people hundreds of years before Christ was ever born in Bethlehem. Isaiah chapter 53, a chapter that Jewish people will skip over because it describes only one person in all of history. Not a group, not a government, not a nation, but a singular person, the servant. That is, of course, by our understanding, Jesus Christ. Why? Listen as I read to you Isaiah 53, verses 3 through 12. Listen to the way it describes and think about what Jesus did as we read it. Isaiah 53, starting at verse 3, going through verse 12. "He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he was stricken. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him, that is Christ, the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is silent, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? He was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken, and he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief, and when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, his soul was an offering for sin. Think about that. He shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. He interceded for sinners. Folks, we are all sinners. Even after we believe, sometimes we still do stupid things, but God has forgiven us through Christ the Lord. None of us can stand before God on our own because we are transgressors. What does that mean? That literally means we are lawbreakers. Whose law? God's law. And only God, as the righteous judge, can pass sentence, either death or life. And in Christ, he has declared us alive through the Holy Spirit. That is the assurance that we have that we are alive in Christ. Now, all that I read, think about that. That is prophecy. Hundreds of years. Now, we're going to read the fulfillment of that prophecy in just a minute. We mentioned how God, Yahweh God, showed his people Israel what their deliverer, their righteous servant, would do and would be. And they skip over it because they understand deep down that God's word is true and God's Son has come. But as we learn later, this was on purpose. If you read Romans chapter 9 through 30 to chapter 11 through 36, folks, the reason they did that is so that the whole world would come to know Jesus Christ. The Jews rejected him temporarily for a time so that the Gentiles, us, would believe in him and have the benefit of a relationship with God Almighty, the same God that parted the Red Sea, the same God that gave the Ten Commandments, the same God that gave us the prophets Elijah, Elisha, Isaiah, Jeremiah, and all the rest. This same God is now open to everybody, not just the Jewish nation. They're still God's people, don't get me wrong. But we are also God's people because our faith is in Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, this will happen because at some point in the future, they will accept him. The Old Testament prophet Zechariah said that they, the people of Jerusalem, will look on him whom they have pierced. Who did they pierce but Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior? Now, all that being said, let's get into the prophecy fulfillment. Mark chapter 15, going to be reading a lot, verses 16 through 47. This is after the trial before the Sanhedrin and when the Romans got a hold of him. Now, folks, that's important because the Gentiles are now dealing with the Savior of the world and see how they treat him. But see who was the first to confess him outside of Judaism as the Son of God. Verse 16. And the soldiers led him away into the hall called the Praetorium. And they called together the whole band. And they clothed him in purple and planted a crown of thorns and put it around his head. And they began to salute him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews! And they smote him on the head with a reed, and they spit on him, and bowing their knees, worshipped him, mockingly, I might add. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple from him and put his own clothes back on him and led him out to crucify him. And they compelled one Simon, a Cyrenian, who passed by, coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross. And they bring him unto the place called Golgotha, which is being interpreted the place of a skull. And they gave him to drink wine mingled with myrrh, and he received it not. Let's stop there for a moment. This is God the Son, God incarnate in human flesh. And what do these people do? They take him, they mock him. Do people still mock God today? Do people still mock Jesus today? Absolutely they do. Why? Because they're ignorant. Folks, if you really know somebody is God, you're not going to do that. If you really believe, you're not going to do that. Now, unfortunately, many of us who do believe, sometimes we do stupid things. Not necessarily to mock God, but pretending like he's not watching, he's not listening. But he is. And we have to get on our knees and ask forgiveness and repent of that sin. But that's for another time, folks. Let's concentrate on what they're doing to Jesus. So they put this robe on him. They stuck a crown of thorns, folks. I thought there used to be one up there. But you can go out here to these trees and they've got these thorns that long out there. And they're hard as rocks. They're not just something like a briar you can break off. No, they are stony and they are hard. And they formed it into a wreath and they shoved it on his head and blood trickled down his face. Why? In mocking him as a king, they gave him that crown. Folks, the crown that God himself gave him and the one that he's going to give to us is an imperishable crown. It can't be burned in a fire. It is forever, and it belongs to him and it belongs to us, those that are in Christ. Now, brothers and sisters, I get fired up about this stuff because I'm sick and tired of hearing the world mock him. I'm sick and tired of hearing people who profess his name get in a church building and tell people, you don't have to believe this, you don't have to do this. I'm telling you, if you are in Christ, you don't want to do anything like that. Now, you still may do something, a sin on occasion. I get that. We're all fallible. But brothers and sisters, in Christ we are made whole. In Christ we have eternal life. And that's something that we should always, always remember. Not only on Resurrection Sunday, but every Sunday we meet up here. And every day we draw breath. Every time we see the sunrise, we need to be reminded that on that day, the stone was rolled away. And on that day, the guards became like dead men. The same Romans that had shoved that crown on top of his head, that had hit him with a reed, that had spit on him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews," sarcastically. Actually, they were speaking the truth. They just didn't know it. And every time we see that, we need to be reminded what happened. They fell as if dead men. There's going to be a time where every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is the Son of God to the glory of God the Father. And he is always going to be that forever and ever and ever. Now, let's pick back up at verse 24. "And when they had crucified him, they parted his garments, and casting lots upon them, which every man should take." Remember Isaiah said they were going to portion out his things to this suffering servant, an indication that suffering servant is Christ. Verse 25, "And it was the third hour, and they crucified him." That was about 9 o'clock in the morning. "And his superscription of the accusation was written over the King of the Jews." Remember, Pilate had that written and placed over the top of the cross. We see that on many crucifixes and displays. We see that. "And it said in three languages. It said in Hebrew, it said in Greek, and it said in Latin." So everybody that was there could read this. They were proclaiming he was the King of the Jews. And remember what the Pharisees said to him? We might cover it. Well, we're going to cover it in a second, so I'm going to get on to that, okay? Verse 27, "And with him they crucified two thieves, the one on his right hand and the other on his left, numbered with the transgressors. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, he was numbered with the transgressors. And they that passed by railed at him, wagging their heads and saying, Ah, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days." Remember, he had prophesied that. "He saved others, but he cannot save himself. Let Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross, that he may see and believe, that we may see and believe. And they that were crucified with him reviled him." We know that one, both of them did, as Mark truncated things, but we know from another gospel that one did say that he wanted to be remembered by Christ, and Christ granted him paradise in that moment. Verse 32, or verse 33, "And when the sixth hour," that's noon, "came, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour." So they crucified him, and these religious people came by, the ones that he had talked with in the temple, the ones that he'd performed miracles. What a piece of lie these people said. They had seen Jesus raise Lazarus from the dead. Guy that had been dead 4 days. They had seen the 4,000 fed and the 5,000 fed. They had seen demons cast out. They had seen miracle after miracle. Now they're saying, oh, if you just come down from the cross, we'll believe you. No, they wouldn't have. They would have kept on doing what the world always does, rejecting him. But he was smarter than that because he knew he had to fulfill the will of the Father so that those people and everybody else who believed would have eternal life. Folks, that's an amazing miracle in itself, that Jesus Christ, yes, he was fully God, but he was also fully man. And just like he prayed in the garden for Father's will, that the cup would not come to him, all right? But he wanted God's will to be done. In that moment, instead of calling down legions of angels like he said in the garden, he could have wiped that whole city out in one whack. But he didn't. Why? Because he saw you, and he saw you, and he saw you, and he saw those folks at the foot of the cross, and he saw every believer for all time crying out to him, God, Jesus, save us. We need you. And so he submitted himself to the will of the Father. And as we read in Isaiah, it was the will of the Father to put the punishment of our sins upon him. Him who had never sinned at all. Not once. Now, he was tempted like all men, but he never gave in. Can you understand what Jesus had to go through? Being God in the flesh, can do all these miracles, and yet people were throwing things at him, rebuking him, cursing him, doing all kinds of things. The thing that he needed to do was forgive them. And because he was God and sinless, he did forgive them. And he forgave us, and he forgives you. What have you in your life that you need forgiveness? I'm here to declare that this morning, this resurrection day, that the resurrection gives you hope. It gives you life. And whatever you've done, it can go from murder to whatever it is. If you come to God and you repent, you still may have to pay the consequences on earth for your actions. However, you will be forgiven and you will be saved. And brothers and sisters, that's why we're here, to acknowledge not only the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, but the eternal life that He has given us. Why? Because He was the first fruits. He was the first one permanently raised from the dead. Now folks, there had been some other people in the Old Testament that some of the prophets had brought back to life, but they died again. Even old Lazarus, I bet you on that deathbed the second time, he probably had a t-shirt that said, been there, done that. All right, but he knew where he was going. He'd already been there, but he died again. Jesus Christ raised and stay raised, and that's when we are raised, we will stay raised for eternity because death has no more power over us. Sin has no more power over us, even though we let it on occasion slip back in. But when we are forgiven eternally. Why? Because of the cross. Now let's continue at verse 34. And at the ninth hour, that's 3 o'clock in the afternoon, Jesus cried with a loud voice saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That's from the Psalms, folks. And some of them that stood by when they heard it, behold, he calleth Elias, or Elijah. And one ran and filled a sponge full of vinegar and put it on a reed and gave it to him to drink, saying, let alone. Let us see whether Elijah will come to take him down. And Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost. And the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom. And when the centurion, which stood over against him, saw that he thus cried out and gave up the ghost, he said, truly, this man was the Son of God. Now this centurion had been in Israel probably a long time. He was the commander of a whole company, about 100 guys. All right? And he knew about their religion. He knew that they believed there's this one God. And he had heard that Jesus claimed to be the Son of God. And the way that Christ died and the things that happened, the darkness, the earthquake, all that stuff, proved to this Gentile Roman that Jesus was the true Son of God. Folks, they had imitations in their religion. You know, if you study Roman and Greek mythology, you understand about Zeus and Jupiter and all these guys that claimed to be divine, that claimed to be sons of God. They even had a guy in their history, the Jews did, a fellow by the name of Antiochus Epiphanes, the fourth, I believe, or the third. Anyway, he claimed to be the Son of God such a way that he went into the Jewish temple and desecrated it and put up images of himself in there. And if you want to know about Hanukkah and the Festival of Lights and dedication, Feast of Dedication, that's what that's all about. I'll let you do that another time. I'm moving on here. But you think about that. The temple was rent. The veil in the temple was rent, and the earthquake came. If you've ever seen The Passion of the Christ, one of the best video examples of what I think that would look like. Now, of course, that's a fictional story, but it's based on the truth. All right? Anytime you try to make a movie out of something, even if it's true, it becomes a fictionalized story. But the temple was rent, and it shook at its very foundation. Another gospel tells us the dead got up and walked around Jerusalem. Folks, they had a real zombie apocalypse, but they weren't zombies. They were saints. They were people that had believed in Christ and had been faithful to Judaism under the Old Covenant, and they were given testimony that Christ was there. Now, he died. So what happened after he died? After the veil was torn and after the Gentile soldier confessed him? There were, verse 40, there were also women looking on afar off, among whom was Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James the Less and of Joseph and of Salome, which also when he was in Galilee followed him and ministered unto him. These women, these mothers, these ladies had been traveling along with Jesus and company. And they had been cooking for him and helping him and ministering to them, probably there to talk to when they needed a female voice. Folks, in Christianity, women are blessed. It's only through us men, our stupid mouths and our stupid pride, that sometimes we forget that. But folks, according to God, there is no male or female. Everybody stands before the throne of God equal. Either equal in your sin or equal in your faith. Now, moving on from that, administered unto him, and many other women which came up with him unto Jerusalem. Verse 42, and now when the even was come, because it was the day of preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor, that means he was on the Sanhedrin, which also waited for the kingdom of God, came and went in boldly unto Pilate, and craved the body of Jesus. And Pilate marveled if he was already dead. And calling unto him the centurion, he asked him whether he had been any while dead. Folks, the same centurion, when Jesus died, he went back to his post. And Pilate, when Joseph, remember, Joseph was kind of like Nicodemus. Remember Nicodemus coming to him in the garden? Well, Joseph was very similar to him. And he believed and he waited on God's kingdom to be restored and the Messiah to come. And he loved what Jesus was doing and he loved what Jesus said. So when Jesus had died, they went to Pilate. And Pilate was confused because, you know, a crucifixion could take days. Folks, imagine hanging on a cross for days. But Jesus is already dead. It took about 6 hours. If we start at 9 in the morning and end at 3 in the afternoon, about 6 hours. And remember from another gospel, we know that not only was he given vinegar to drink, but when the earthquake came and the darkness fell, they broke the other two guys' legs, but they didn't break Jesus, so a prophecy out of the Psalms would be fulfilled. Not a bone was broken, but they did pierce his side with a spear. That's why we read in Zechariah, they will look upon whom they have pierced, because they shoved a stick, a spear, up into the chest cavity of our Lord and Savior. What came out? Blood mixed with water came out. So we know that medically, all kind of trauma was going on in our Lord and Savior's chest and his heart. But folks, that blood was spilt for a reason. That blood was spilt so it would cover our sins and our failings and our doubt and our fear. That blood was there because God knew we needed it. And brothers and sisters, that's important to me. Let's move on at verse 44. And Pilate marveled if he were already dead, and calling on him the centurion, he asked him whether he had been any while dead. And when he knew it of the centurion, he gave the body to Joseph, wanted to make sure he was dead before he gave it over, but he did. And he brought Joseph brought fine linen and took him down and wrapped him in the linen and laid him in a sepulcher which was hewn out of a rock and rolled a stone under the door of the sepulcher. And Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of Joseph beheld where he was laid. So Joseph of Arimathea took him and put him in his own tomb. His own tomb. Now, he was upper class, so he wasn't just thrown in a hole in the ground. They had a cave that they had carved out and a large stone to roll it because they believed in the resurrection too. Folks, most pagans, and this is not a diatribe against cremation because God can put you together no matter what state you're in, okay? I believe that. But the pagans burned their dead. And the criminals and the lowlife of Jerusalem were thrown into the valley that was beside the hillside of Jerusalem, and they were burned. I believe it was called Gehenna. Now, all that being said, Joseph took him down, wrapped him in linen, and placed him on the rock ledge that was there inside that tomb. And Mary and the other Mary saw that stone roll, and a guard was posted. And we read in another gospel how Pilate took a signet ring, or he had one of the soldiers take a signet ring and seal that tomb. It was not to be broken under penalty of law. Y'all remember that mattress tag that used to be on there that said, do not remove under penalty of law? Folks, that wasn't real, okay? That was just something they did for the manufacturers and the warehouses. This was, if anybody tried to mess with this, they would in turn be crucified. They in turn would be executed for breaking a Roman governor's seal. They did all they could do. Now, brothers and sisters, what happened after that? Mary, draped in deep and real sorrow, bore his body to the tomb, the rich man's grave, after dying alongside the transgressors. We saw that in prophecy. But then, then it happened. Mark chapter 16, verse 1 through 13. And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. They were going to prepare his body, as was the Jewish custom. Folks, we have the same custom at the funeral home. If you don't believe me, go check it out sometime. All right, they prepare the body for viewing. Now, that being said, verse 2, and very early in this morning of the first day of the week, that is Sunday morning, the first day of the week, all right, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. That's why we meet early on Resurrection Sunday, to commemorate them coming early to Christ as the sun rose. Now, folks, I don't know about y'all, but it's been decades since I went to an actual sunrise service. The older I get, the harder it is to get up. But I'm going to tell you what, the meaning is still there. When I was driving into work this morning, the sun was blinding. The sun was blinding. But you know what? It reminded me of when that sun is going to be even more blinding, but I'm going to hear a trumpet at the same time, and I'm going to see the sky separate like a scroll, and the Lord's going to be there, and everybody will see Him, and the dead will rise, and then the rest of us. And I'm looking forward every day for that, because he who has died is free from sin. When we are dead or translated into the presence of Christ, we are free from sin. That means we're no longer tempted, we're no longer divided, we're no longer hurtful, we're no longer doing things that our flesh demands, but our heart says no. How many of y'all have done something stupid knowing it was wrong when you did it? Every one of us in here has done that. What happens at that moment? You know instantly you messed up. And that's a good thing because that's the Holy Spirit telling you, boy, you belong to me. Lady, you belong to me. You don't belong to this world. You don't belong to your own flesh anymore. I paid the price for you. And that sunrise reminds us every time we see it that one day that sun's going to rise and that's going to be our last day, either by rapture or drawing our last breath. But it's going to happen. Folks, I've been here 5 years now. How many times I look out in the audience and see empty places that I knew someone used to sit? But they are now in the presence of God. They're still part of the body of Christ. They're still part of the church. All right? But they are waiting when Christ returns. They're going to be with Him. And we're going to be with Him too. Folks, that's the power of the resurrection. Those that draw their last breath here, open their eyes in the very next instant in the presence of God Almighty and Jesus Christ, their Lord and Savior. No other religion can say that. Some of you want you, you know, translate and we're going to form our own heaven or our own earth or some faraway planet or some other such nonsense. Or else we're reincarnated and got to do it over and over and over again. Is there hope in that? No, there's no hope in that. There's hope in the resurrection of Jesus Christ our Lord. There's hope that we will be with Him forever and ever. And we're not going to be sitting on clouds playing harps, folks. We're going to be ruling and reigning with Him over this entire universe. with the angels as our ministers, our servants. Folks, I'm looking forward to that. But I'm especially looking forward where there's no more sin, there's no more sorrow, there's no more tears, there's no more cancer, there's no more heart attacks, there's no more strokes, there's no more loved ones being yanked out of our presence. Folks, that is because of death. And Jesus Christ overcame death by the power of the resurrection. Now what happened when they got to the tomb? They said among themselves, verse 3, "Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre?" And when they looked, they saw that the stone was already rolled away, for it was very great. Verse 5, "And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were afraid. And he said unto them, Be not afraid. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified." So the angel himself is saying, yeah, he's dead. He was dead. But guess what? He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way. Tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. Why did he single out Peter? Because Peter had denied him. Brothers and sisters, how many times do we, by action, maybe not by word, but by action, deny our Lord? If I was to take a poll, I think 95% of us in here would admit to it. If the other percent did it, they just won't admit to it. But you know what? That's okay. Because Jesus is still risen. And Jesus forgives all of our sins whenever they're committed. Past, present, future. He has forgiven them. That does not give you license to go out and commit sin. It does not give you license to go out and be evil or be murderous or be whatever you are or whatever I am. Brothers and sisters, what it does give us is hope that no matter what we have done, Christ forgives. And are we to be like Christ? Yes, we are. What does that mean? That means we are to forgive also those that hurt us, those that aggravate us, those that say bad things, those that treat us ugly. Folks, we've all done that to somebody. But Christ forgives, and we should forgive also, because that's part of being a child of God. When Peter came to him and said, "How many times should I forgive my brother? Up to 7 times? Jesus took out one of those balls and strike things the umpire used and said, "Okay, let's start counting." No, he didn't. What he did, he used a metaphor. He said, "I say not 7 times, but 70 times 7. That doesn't mean 490. Get the clicker back out. It means whenever it happens, you do as I've commanded you to do. And it doesn't matter how many times. It doesn't matter who did it. It doesn't matter when it happened. It doesn't matter if it was 5 minutes ago or 5 decades ago. If God calls on you to forgive, forgive. Because that is how we stand in the presence of Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, when we are in faith in Him. Now, all that being said, what happened after he said, "Go and tell Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee"? That's verse 7. "And ye shall see him as he said unto you. And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid." Can you blame them? Imagine going into your home and there's a guy in a long white outfit sitting there with a nice little glow about him. He ain't normal, all right, in a good way, all right? And he tells you something amazing. And he tells you to go out and tell people. Now, folks, our society is no different than their society when it comes to claims and proclamation and outlandish things. There were doubters there all around. I'm sure there were doubters there when Jesus raised Lazarus. And we know there were doubters there when Jesus ascended, because the Bible tells us in the book of Acts, "And some doubted." I don't see how, but they did. Now, all that being said, I understand their fear. Verse 9, "Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, one of whom he had cast out 7 devils. And she went and told them that he had been with him, as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not, after they appeared in another form unto 2 of them. That's the road to Emmaus. As they walked and went into the country, and they went and told it unto the residue, neither believed they them." So they didn't believe them either. And we read in one of the Gospels that, yeah, when Jesus appeared to them, the guys rushed in and said, "Hey, we've been with Jesus. He broke bread, he prayed, and disappeared." But they still didn't believe it. Not until Jesus showed up. Jesus shows up today in your heart. Jesus shows up today in the very creation if you will pay attention. Jesus shows up today in the Word of God, in your faith, in the faith of others. He shows up every time we profess Him and proclaim Him because He is risen. Now, folks, I don't feel too bad about the ones who didn't believe when Mary came in and then the other two disciples. Imagine if you were. You're part of a large family. Your mother and father have already passed many years ago. Your oldest brother passes away. Everybody goes to the funeral. Everybody was in the hospital with him. They know he's dead. All right? You go out to the grave. They put him in the ground. They cover him with dirt and cover him with flowers. And you're crying. Just like the disciples were mourning for Jesus, your brothers and sisters are at home mourning and crying. Well, you decide you're going to go back out to the cemetery. You want to say your piece over the grave. You go out there, and the dirt is back in its pile. The flowers are scattered into the trees. There's nothing. The vault is open. The coffin is open, laying on the ground, and nobody's in it. And you turn around, and your older brother is standing there. And he says, I want you to go tell my brothers and sisters that I'm alive. Go do it now. And you take off running. What are they going to think when you show up? They're going to think you're either mad, crazy, or overcome with grief and seeing things. But folks, that may be accurate today because we're not resurrected until Christ returns. But I'm going to tell you what, in that day, it really happened. Why would these men give their lives, go through the torture and the pain that they went through for a lie? They saw Jesus. They talked with Him. They even had a fish fry with Him. That's why I like Baptist fish fries. Because we're just following the Lord. Amen? Amen. We're doing that. Now, that being said, again, what did He do when He was at the fish fry? Just before, they were still, you know, Peter went fishing. He got so fed up, he decided he wanted to go fishing. So he got out there, and Jesus called from the shore, Brothers, have you caught anything? No. Cast your net on the right side. Part two of the thing they'd done at the very first. Remember when Jesus had called James and John and Peter and Andrew, remember all the way back there, and they cast the net into the sea, and they pulled up the net so full of fish, it was breaking. Folks, the only time that ever happened to me is I caught me a 14-pound blue cat, all right, on a worm and a cork on a cane pole, and I had a fishing net, and I scooped that thing up, and it was so big the net broke, and the fish went bloom. Of course, when it went bloom, the hook came out, and I lost him, all right? But I'm going to tell you, it's an amazing thing to sit there and watch that fish be so heavy. I cannot imagine thousands upon thousands of these fish in this net, and they're hauling it aboard, and all of a sudden, Peter realizes who it was who called out to him. And what did he do? He stripped buck naked. He stripped buck naked, jumped out of the boat, and swam to the shore. Notice he didn't walk on water this time. He was in such a hurry, he forgot he could do it. So he ran out there and swam out there, and Jesus was cooking the fish on the shore. And they got into a conversation. And John showed up, and we read how Jesus told Peter to feed his sheep three times. I believe that is important because he had denied him three times. And somehow the conversation turned around to how Peter would die. And Jesus said, basically, people are going to take you where you don't want to go and stretch you out the way you don't want to be stretched, signifying that he would be crucified also. But Peter, being Peter, said, what about this guy? How many of us in our lives have been found guilty of a sin, and the first thing we say to the Lord, what about him? What about her? Well, why are they getting away with it? Folks, it don't matter if they get away with it or not, because they will not get away with it. Either Jesus paid for it or they'll pay for it. Now, that being said, Jesus basically told him, mind your own business, Peter. If he lives until I come back, that's my business, not yours. You just do as I command you. You feed my sheep. And Peter did. Mark wrote down the things that Peter said, and we're still studying that word to this day. And he became a connection with the church in Rome. He was not the first pope. I don't care what they tell you. All right? But he was in charge of a group of believers in Rome at that time. All right? Now, all that being said, that's what happened after he was resurrected. So I can understand them not believing Mary and the two guys until Jesus actually appeared. Sounds like they're from Missouri, the Show Me State, right? The Show Me part of Palestine or Israel at that time. They wanted to see it. Remember Thomas told them, I'm not going to believe until I can put my hand in his hand and put my hand in his side. I'm not going to believe until I can do that. Guess what? Jesus showed up and said, Thomas, come here, boy. I don't know why in my head Jesus has a southern accent, but anyway, he put out his hand. Put your hand, finger here. Put your hand here. And Thomas, to his credit, fell on his knees and said, my Lord and my God. And Jesus didn't say, no, no, I'm not God. I'm something different. No, he accepted that praise. Why? Because Jesus is God the Son, period. And it was proven by the resurrection power we celebrate this morning that nothing will be able to touch what is his. If we are in him, neither heaven nor earth nor everything ever created, that includes all the demons in hell and all the people on this earth, can ever remove you from the love of God through Christ Jesus our Lord. You are secure, you are assured, and you're resurrected. We are in the resurrection. We read that in the very beginning. We have that nobody else can claim. Why is that? Because Jesus loved us. While we were yet sinners, let me rephrase that. While God shows his love for us in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. But folks, he did not and does not stay dead. When you see these things like we talked about earlier, that says, well, we found the tomb of Jesus. It might be Jesus. It might be this. It might be that. He's over here. This guy's a reincarnation of Jesus and all that kind of garbage that you hear in the world. Folks, don't you dare believe it. Because it is a lie from the gates of hell. Because if they can take away the resurrection, they take away the truth. They take away your life. They take away the hope, the assurance that you have. But I'm here today to tell you, based on my life, based on the Word of God, that the resurrection is sure and true, and it applies to every one of us that are in Christ. So if you are not in Christ, why? Do you want what this world has to offer? Folks, what it has to offer can be tossed up and thrown away in a paper basket. It can be burned in a fire. It can be taken away from you by a lawyer. It can just disappear overnight. I'm here from the government. We need to talk about your taxes. It can disappear, brothers, sisters. It can all disappear in a heartbeat. If nothing else, when your heart stops, what you have on earth disappears for you. Think about that. But in Christ, we live with so much better for all eternity. All eternity. Now, I want to just say one more time. He was not and still is not in that or any other tomb. He is risen. He revealed himself first to one who had felt the sweet victory over sin and the release. That's Mary, who seven demons were cast out of from the chains of demonic oppression. She ran to tell the others who initially couldn't believe her. And like we discussed, I understand them not initially believing her. But with Jesus, it was and is and always will be different. Because he is risen and he remains risen. And after all is said and done, the reason we are here today, as we already mentioned, is the resurrection and the life found in Christ and in no other. Let me reread Paul's text from 1 Corinthians one more time, verse 20 through 23. But now Christ is risen from the dead and became the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. Folks, Christ was the first to be permanently resurrected. All right? We are in that line. We are waiting for our resurrection. Why? Because our place is after Christ at his coming. Because when he stands there, the trumpet sounds, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, we read in Thessalonians. And after that, all that believe in him. And then the books are going to be opened, and all those that are found in the Lamb's book of life. And if you were resurrected, you are in the Lamb's book of life, okay? We will enter into the joy of our Master. But if not, may the Lord have mercy on your soul and allow you to know the truth at some point. Brothers and sisters, this is not a game. It's not Easter eggs. I'm not going to fault anybody for doing the bunnies and the chocolate bunnies. That's okay. But I'm telling you what, all that stuff, okay, means nothing for the resurrection. The resurrection is the life. And he who believes in Christ shall never die. And he who lives and believes in Him shall never perish. Folks, if you believe in Christ, if you believe in the resurrection, celebrate it. Just go to the Lord in prayer and thank Him. Thank Him every day that you have hope, that you have eternal life, that you have what others refuse to believe and refuse to have. Not that they can't have it. If they repent and believe, of course they can have it, because it's offered unto all men. Once you hear the truth, it is your duty to believe the truth. Folks, a lot of people would argue me with that point, but I'm going to tell you what, that is gospel. Because once you hear the gospel, it is up to you to believe or not. When Matthew heard, "Follow me," he left. He chose to follow Jesus. When the rich young ruler heard, "Sell all you have and take up your cross and follow me," he went away. He rejected. He had a choice too. And Jesus sorrowed. And the man sorrowed too, because he didn't want to give up all his possessions. Folks, what on this earth is more important than eternal life? And the fact that God loved you so much that those that believe in Him should never die but have that eternal life. What is more important? Are you going to live forever? There used to be a song back in the 80s, "Oh, I want to live forever." No, I don't. I want to be freed from the constraints of sin and pain, and I want to glorify my Savior who is in heaven waiting to sound that trumpet for all those that are in Him to come join together for the marriage supper of the Lamb. When, folks, you think this morning's breakfast was good, and before I go any further, I want to thank all the men, Brother Jim, and all the men that came this morning and prepared it and set the tables out and all that stuff. Thank you very much. I like those traditions, folks. But I'm going to tell you what we're going to be sitting down in heaven with Christ, where we will drink the fruit of the vine with Him once again, like we did symbolically this past week. Folks, that is a joyous dinner party that we're going to have, and as soon as that's done, we're coming back. And He's got the list. Folks, He's got the list of those that are with Him. And those that stand against Him are going to be slain with the sword that comes out of His mouth, which is the Word of God. It hurts them now. You start talking about the Word of God, you start talking about Jesus Christ, what happens? They get mad. They want to get up and leave. They want to fight you for everything you're worth. But folks, you know what? That just proves that what's going to happen when Christ returns, they're not going to be able to stand. Now, I pray that God will open their eyes and they will believe in the Savior that loved them enough to die for them. I pray that. I don't want anybody to wind up on the opposite side of the gulf. What do I mean by that? That great gulf that's between paradise and hell. All right? Now, what we read about the parable of Lazarus and the rich man, that will all be destroyed. How do I know that? Because all that is sinful, all that is there now, is going to be cast into the lake of fire that burns forever, day and night, without ease. But we are going to be in heaven, and we're going to have no more tears, so we're not even going to be worried about that anymore because we have chosen to be with God. Well, what about my brother and all that stuff? He's a good man. Folks, if you spit on the cross, are you a good man? If you reject the great offer of salvation from God, are you a good woman? Child, if you refuse to believe because your friends don't, what does that make you? Makes you an unbeliever. And what happens to unbelievers? Their names are not in the Lamb's Book of Life. And what happens when the books are open and they're read and you're not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life? You will be taken and suffer eternal death. But for us that believe on Him, Resurrection Sunday means that there is no more death. Physical death, we all got to go through it. Sorry, unless the rapture comes. But brothers and sisters, there's no eternal death. There's no fear of hell. There's no fear of death any longer. Why? Because He is risen. Amen. Praise team.